path to implementing the next generation air traffic transportation system hit some turbulence. 17 of 25 industry stakeholders tell the Government Accountability Office they're concerned about global interoperability. And those efforts could be subject to further delays because modernization efforts around the world have been hampered because of strained resources. Gerald Dillingham is the Director of Physical Infrastructure Issues at GAO. He joins me now with more on these concerns. Mr. Dillingham, great to have you on.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
All right, so this sounds like someone could spend a career studying this program. And the latest issue is interoperability. Does that mean, say, if a Polish airliner is coming and an airliner from Qatar is coming into the United States along with United Airlines, they're all seeing the same thing and understanding the same languages and understandings as they try to land?
That's exactly what it means, Tom. Not only if when they're coming in to land, but as they are crossing national borders and flying almost in the global airspace, they would want to be able to communicate and to navigate to avoid any kind of potential collision or just to make the system more efficient.
Now, I would have thought this is something that FAA would have worked out 25 years ago when they first seemed to embark on this project.
Well, you're right. I mean, currently, the systems are interoperable, and they do work together very well. What we have now is a lot of the world is developing new air traffic control systems and with new technologies, and so we're at the place where we need to make sure that they are continue to be interoperable as they develop.
So in other words, the radar-based systems that go back to whenever they started those, I guess back in the 1940s, those are totally compatible and interoperable around the world, but the satellite-based ones, the GPS-based ones, such as NextGen, may not be so compatible?
That's exactly right. The radars are, in fact, working together, but as we move towards a GPS-based, satellite-based system, there will need to be much more interoperability and cooperation among the nations.
Now, you say in your report that the FAA did develop an international strategic plan back in 2014 to kind of guide the efforts to make sure that this is interoperable, NextGen is interoperable. What was the quality of that plan, and what's the status of carrying it out?
The plan, it was a good plan. It was necessary but not sufficient is the way I would characterize it, meaning that although FAA has this international strategic plan, one thing that it's missing is a risk assessment, a comprehensive enterprise-level risk assessment to identify the potential risk for interoperability and to mitigate those risks. And that's what we determined in doing this study.
And in doing the study, GAO did, as we said, talk to 25 people that have a stake in all, 25 groups that have a stake in this. Who were they? What types of outfits care about this other than, obviously, the airlines?
Well, it's manufacturers of avionics. It's manufacturers of aircraft. It's safety officials from the various countries. All of us are concerned about interoperability, because it is, as you know, aviation is a global enterprise, and it needs to work on a global basis.
And you mentioned air navigation service providers. What are those?
Well, air navigation service providers is the name that's used in a lot of the other parts of the world, especially Europe. But they're the same as our air traffic control system.
Okay, so they have them, yeah, pretty much everywhere. And what is the status of GPS navigation in other countries, say Great Britain or Canada or, you know, anywhere somewhere in the Middle East?
This is one of the interesting components of this, is that most of the world is in the process of shifting to a GPS-based, satellite-based system. So although most of the world now is operating on radar, the shift in the next decade will certainly be to satellite navigation.
So is the United States ahead of the pack, or are they behind the game, or are they pretty much in the middle of the pack?
I think the U.S. is pretty much in the middle of the pack. There's a significant amount of cooperation and collaboration that's going on both internally and with our partners around the world. So right now, things seem to be working together. The question becomes, how does this proceed as we get closer to actually implementing more of the next-gen systems?
Because, you know, in the air traffic, it's also a commercial matter, and there's a lot of battles in other domains for supremacy of the air and who gets to fly where. And one of the countries that cares about this a lot is China. How does China compare to the United States in its efforts to convert from radar to GPS?
Well, as you know, Tom, there is the International Civil Aviation Organization in Canada, which acts as a sort of a world governing body for aviation. And all the countries that are member states are following the ICAO guidelines for developing and modernizing their system. And China and Japan and some of the other nations are following those ICAO guidelines. Right now, the United States and Europe are probably the lead in doing all of this, and most other countries will follow the U.S. and European lead as they move forward with this interoperability and building new systems.
We're speaking with Gerald Dillingham. He's the Director of Physical Infrastructure Issues at the GAO. So does the global, I guess, weight of the industries in the United States and Europe combined, does that give any kind of advantage to the systems being developed here as something that other entities, airlines and so forth, would adopt and maybe benefit the commercial producers of all of this equipment that you mentioned?
I think it does give the U.S. and Europe an advantage. They have been considered the leaders in air traffic control for decades at this point, and many countries will wait and gradually change their system following the lead of the United States and Europe. And that's why it's so important that Europe and the United States and ICAO all continue to work together to ensure that we have a system that's globally operable around the planet.
And just while we have you, I mean, what is FAA saying with respect to when, you know, the progress on next gen? And we, a couple of years ago, had been fully deployed in a couple of cities here and there in the Gulf and so forth of Mexico. But what is the status of it now?
Well, Tom, I think now the concept that we hear a lot about is now gen, meaning that, as you were just describing, there are several parts of the United States in which next-gen capabilities have been implemented or being tested. And at the same time, there are international tests of air traffic control systems taking place with Europe and other countries. So we're now at the process of implementation, moving past sort of design and planning. I think it's on an upward trajectory.
And so does that that period of time, and maybe could be a couple of decades, really, between now and the total conversion and of everybody to radar, to a GPS, is there some danger in, say, pilots getting confused? Wait a minute, this is a radar place. We got to switch over to this system. Or wait a minute, this is a GPS place. We got to switch over to that system.
No, I don't think we have a danger of that because the nations are working together to ensure that when the systems are in place and ready to be operable, that they in fact will, everyone will be ready to engage in the next gen type system. I mean, that's the real purpose of coordination and cooperation with other countries, is that you keep in touch with each other, you share information, lessons learned, so that there is a working together to come to that one end of a new and modernized system.
And so what is your recommendation to the FAA with respect to interoperability, and what do they say about it?
Well, we recommended that FAA indeed conduct this comprehensive high-level enterprise risk assessment and use that information to determine where the risks were for interoperability to occur and to mitigate those risks. And FAA has agreed with our recommendation and is moving forward to implement that recommendation. This would allow FAA to apply its scarce resources in the places where it's needed most.
All right. Gerald Dillingham is the Director of Physical Infrastructure Issues at the GAO. Thanks so much for joining me.